Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is July the 19th, and we are in Parashas Chukas. We're on page 848 in the Stone Chumash. This will be our second to last class before we break for the summer. Next Sunday will be our last class. And tonight, unfortunately, I need to leave a little bit early again. But we will do what we can before I need to leave. Now, the last thing we discussed was after Aaron's death, then the Jews had the clouds disappeared, and they were attacked by the king of Arad, who was really an Amaleki that was disguised. They disguised themselves. They changed their language to be like the Canaanim. And the Jews won that war, and that was the last that we heard. So now, we're up to, on page 848, we're up to Pasuk Dalid, and we have an episode where the Jews are going to be traveling, and they're going to become frustrated with the trip. But before we do that story, there is an unwritten story over here, which is hinted to in several places in the Chumash, which actually throws the whole thing into a different context. So if we'll hold the place here in 848, if you'll please turn to Parshas Ekev in Sefer Devarim, and it will be on page 988 in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Ekev, Perek Yud, chapter 10, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Now, in Sefer Devarim, as you know, and we will, of course, discuss this extensively, Be'ez Hashem, when we get to Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is going over a lot of what happened to the Jewish people over the past 40 years, and he is giving the Jews Musar. He's admonishing them for things they had done wrong over the past 40 years. And prior to his death, he's giving the Jews constructive criticism. So in Pasuk Vav, in verse 6, this is one of the criticisms. The Pasuk says, Uvnei Yisrael nasu mi be'eros b'nei Ya'akan mosera. And the Jews traveled from Beiros B'nei Akan, the wells of B'nei Akan, Mosera to Mosera. Sham Meis Aaron, there Aaron died, Vayikaver Sham, and he was buried there, Vayichahen Elazar B'no Tachtav. And Elazar, his son, was made Kohen Gadol in his place. Seems like a fairly innocuous pasuk. Does not seem like there's a lot of criticism going on over here. However, again, if we'll hold the place here on 988, let's look at the travels of the Jews in yesterday's Parsha, in Parshas Maaseh. If we look over there in Parshas Maaseh, which would be on page 920, on page 920, in discussing all of the travels of the Jews, we have one pasuk after another describing all of the different places where the Jews traveled. The Torah tells us in pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31. In pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, it says, "Vayisu mi Moseros," and they traveled from Moseros. Moseros and Mosera are the same place. "Vayachanu bivnei Ya'akan," and they encamped in B'nai Ya'akan. And then the next pasuk, they traveled from B'nai Ya'akan, and they went to Chor HaGidgad. So they traveled from Moseros, or Mosera, to B'nai Ya'akan. However, on page 988, in pasuk Vav, verse 6, it says, the Jews traveled from Beiros B'nei Akan, from the walls of B'nei Akan, to Moserah. Whereas on 920 it says they traveled from Moseros to B'nei Akan. Which one was it? Did they go from Moseros to B'nei Akan or B'nei Akan to Moserah? Which one did they go to first? Which one did they go to second? It seems to be that there is a reversal here. On page 920, it seems like they went from Moserah or Moseros to B'nei Akan. And on page 988, Moshe Rabbeinu says, we went from B'nei Akan to Moserah. Moreover, and the more difficult question is, that it says on page 988 in Pasuk Vav, that Aaron died there, that he died in Moserah. We know that Aaron did not die in Moserah. Aside from the fact that in our Parshas Chukas that we're learning now, it says Aaron died in Hor HaHar. It says that it corroborates that on page 920 itself, in Parshas Maaseh, where it says in Pasuk Lamed Ches, that, well, in Lamed Zayin, in 37 it says they came to Hor HaHar, and in Lamed Ches, in 38, it says Aaron died there. So did he die at Hor HaHar or did he die at Moserah? So Rashi explains in several places in the Chumash. He says this in Parshas Ekev. He says it in Parshas Pinchas as well. That when Aaron died at Hor HaHar. That we know. And we know, as we learned in Parshas Chukas, that after he died, the clouds disappeared and they were attacked by Amalek. They defeated Amalek, but they were attacked by Amalek. So the Medrash tells us that after that happened, the Jews became frightened. They said, we don't have the clouds anymore. And they were attacked by Amalek. Even though they did win the war against Amalek, they were concerned that this sort of the attack would happen again. They felt vulnerable. They felt like they were in danger. And what have the Jews done over and over again in the wilderness when they have felt that they had no direction, that they were scared, that there was no way out? They opted to head back to Mitzrayim, to head back to Egypt. And the Jews began to retrace their steps backwards. The travels that we read about in Parashas Maaseh are in the correct order. Now they're headed back, away from Eretz Yisrael, to go back to Mitzrayim. And that's why it says on page 988 in Parashas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you Jews, you went from Be'eros B'nei Akan, from the wells of B'nei Akan, to Moserah, which is backwards, as we see on page 920, reading about the travels. And it was backwards. They really traveled from Moseros to B'nei Akan. But then, when they got scared, they went backwards. They went back 8 travels. If you look on page 920, you have to work your way backwards from Hor HaHar, which is mentioned in Pasuk Lamed Zion, verse 37. You work your way backwards, you'll get to Moseros, or Moserah, you'll get there 8 travels later. The Jews went back to Mitzrayim, traveling in the opposite direction from where they had come, and their intention was to go back to Egypt. This is amazing, because it's 40 years after they left Egypt, but they still felt they were now rudderless, they now had no place to go, and they went back to Egypt. The B'nai Levi, who did not sin with the Egel, Hazav, the B'nai Levi who did not sin with the Meraglim, the B'nai Levi chased after the Jewish people to get them back, to stop them from going back to Mitzrayim. The B'nai Levi here took their position as leaders of the Jews seriously, chased the Jews down, the ones who were trying to return to Egypt. And when they caught up with them, which was in Moserah, 8 travels away from Hor Hahar, when that happened, they caught up with them, the Jews refused to return with the Bnei Levi. And the Bnei Levi insisted that they do return. And a civil war erupted, Jew against Jew, the Levian fighting with the rest of the Jewish people. Eventually, the Levian managed to win that skirmish, to win that battle, and they managed to get the Jews to come back to where they were, and to not have that, to not go back to Mitzrayim. The only thing is, this battle was not without casualties. Many people were killed in this war, in this civil war between the Jews. Many people from the Jews were killed, and many Levim were killed, which is why in Parashas Pinchas, Rashi points out there are whole families that are missing. There are families that are listed elsewhere in the Chumash that are missing in Parashas Pinchas with the count of the Jews. Why are they missing, says Rashi? Because there was a civil war. And during that civil war, the Levim had to kill some Jews, and the Jews killed some Levim, and whole families were wiped out, no longer to be counted amongst the Jews in Parashas Pinchas. When this happened, when that war was over, the Jews stopped and looked around in horror at what had happened. Here we were at the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. We tried to go through Edom, they didn't let us. Aaron died. We were attacked by Amalek. We won that war, but we were attacked. We felt vulnerable and tried to go back to Mitzrayim. The Bnei Levi chased after us. We had a whole internal war, and whole families were wiped out. People were killed in droves. Terrible slaughter at the hands of fellow Jews. They took stock in horror of what had happened, and they said, how could this have happened? What triggered all of this? They said, well, we ran back to Mitzrayim. Why did we do that? Because we got scared. Why did we get scared? Because Amalek attacked us. Why did Amalek attack us? Because there were no clouds of glory. Why were there no clouds of glory? Because Aaron died. And they said to themselves, all of this is on account of the death of the great Tzaddik Aaron. It's because he died that all of this terrible calamity has befallen us. That one thing led to another from his death. His death caused the clouds to disappear, which caused Amalek to attack, which caused us to be scared, which caused us to run back to Mitzrayim, which caused the Levim to chase after us, and we had a civil war. And many people were killed. And that is why in Parshas Ekev, on page 988, in this criticism that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jewish people, it says in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, the Jews traveled from Be'eros B'nei Yaakon to Moserah, which was, as we pointed out, was backwards. That was the 8th stop back to Mitzrayim. And then it says, Sham Meis Aaron Vayikaver Sham. There Aaron died and he was buried there. But he didn't die there. He died in Hor Hahar. He wasn't buried there. He was buried in Hor Hahar. What do you mean he died there and Moserah was buried there? The Jews said to themselves, this is all because of Aaron's death. And therefore, in their minds, this was like Aaron had just died. And therefore, they stopped there and they said a great eulogy, a great hesped, for the loss of Aaron. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that the students of the great Tana, the great sage Rav, were returning from his funeral. Rav had died. His students had gone to bury him. The students were returning. On their way back, they stopped to eat a meal. It was a long journey. When they stopped to eat a meal, they were ready to bench, and they had a question regarding the benching, and they did not know the answer to their question. And one of the students got up, it says in the Gemara, and took his cloak that he had been wearing. His cloak that he had been wearing was torn, because as a Talmud Muvhak, as a serious student of Rav, when Rav died, the students of Rav treated him like their own father. And when he died, they raised kriya, they tore their clothing, is a sign of mourning, as a child does when a parent dies, God forbid. And they tore their clothing. So this student of Rav got up, and he took the cloak that he was wearing, which was torn down the front of the clothing, where he had torn it because of the loss of his Rebbe, and he turned the cloak around so that the tear was now behind him, down his back, and the front of his clothing was perfectly fine. He turned the back of the clothing towards the front, and the front of the clothing towards the back, so now the front of his clothing were not torn. And at that, after he did that, he tore the clothing all over again. He tore it a second time. He turned the non-torn face of the cloak towards the front and tore it. So that now there were two tears in the garment. And he said, our Rebbe Rav has passed away, and now we don't even know how to bench properly. And he tore his clothing. In other words, here, when they were returning from Rav's funeral and they stopped to eat and it was time to bench and they had a question, they didn't know the answer, the loss of their Rebbe now became more acute. They had already eulogized Rav. They had already cried over the loss of Rav. They already tore their clothes because of the loss of Rav. But now they felt the loss all over again because they didn't have a Rebbe to teach them what they should do in this situation of doubt. And therefore he tore his clothing again. And that is what is happening here in Parashas Devarim on page 988. That Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people that when you ran back and the Levim caught up with you and there was civil war, after that point, it says Aaron died there and was buried there. In your minds, it was like Aaron died there and was buried there because of the great calamity of the loss of Aaron triggered this sorry sequence of events. And therefore, it was like you lost him at that time in Moshe Ra, and the Jews eulogized Rav all over again. That is the unwritten story that happens at this juncture. We're back now on page 848. After the war with Arad, which we learned about last week, the war with Canaan, before the next story, this is what happens. And this is the backdrop. We have had a civil war. During that civil war, many people were killed. And now we begin Pasuk Dalet, verse 4 on page 848, where we see now what happens next. The Pasuk tells us, Vayisume Har Ahar Derech Yamsuf. They traveled from Har Ahar back towards the Yamsuf, Lisbov Es Eretz Edom, to go around the land of Edom. Remember, they were not allowed to cut through the land of Edom without permission, and the king of Edom did not give them permission. So now they have to go around the land of Edom. So the Jewish people are, they've come to Eretz Yisrael, they've come essentially from the south to Eretz Yisrael. They can't get through the land of Edom. Now they need to travel south along the border of Edom. When they get to the bottom of Edom, they're going to turn left, and they're going to head towards the east, running along the southern border of Edom. When they finish the southern border of Edom, they will come to Moab. They'll continue along the southern border of Moab till they get to the edge of Moab. Then they will turn left again, and now travel north, up the eastern side of Moab, till they get all the way to the top of Moab, where they will yet make another left, and they'll come to the land of Sichon and Og, which they will conquer, so that now they can come to Eretz Yisrael from east to west. So this is what they're doing now. They're traveling around the land of Edom. They were very close to getting into Eretz Yisrael. Now they can't go in that way, and now they must go around Edom. And the pasuk tells us that Vatikzar nefesh ha'am badarech, the soul of the nation became frustrated with the road, with the traveling. The way it says it over here is, the spirit of the people grew short on the way. Okay, they got frustrated. So what happens next? Pasuk, hey, verse 5. Vayidaber ha'am be'elokim uve'moshe. The Jews spoke against Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said the following. Lama helisunu mimitzrayim. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? Lamus bamidbar to die in the wilderness. Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim. There's no bread, there's no water. V'nafshenu katsa. And our souls are, we translate it as disgusted, balechem akilo kale, with this bread that is kilo kale, which they translate here as insubstantial. In other words, we're fed up with mun. We've had enough of mun. We don't want mun anymore. And they complain about this journey. They thought it was over. They thought they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And instead, they now have to go around the land of Edom. And they complain and they say, we don't like this mun. We're sick of it. We're tired of it. We don't want the mun anymore. That's their complaint. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayeshalach Hashem ba'am, Hashem sent against the nation. Eis ha-nechashim ha-serafim, the burning snakes, snake, the poisonous snakes. Vayinashku ha-sa'am, and they bit the people. Vayamas am rav mi-Israel, and many Jews died. So that was the punishment. Vayavo ha-am el-Moshe, the nation came to Moshe. Vayomru, and they said, Chatanu, we sinned. Ki dibarnu va-Hashem va-vach, we spoke against you. We spoke against Hashem, we spoke against you. He spalel Hashem, daven to Hashem, v'yaser me'aleinu es hanachah, shall remove from us the snake. V'yispalel Moshe ba'ad ha'am. Moshe daven for the nation. You see that the Jewish people, even though they did not act properly, but they did do tshuva, and Moshe Rabbeinu accepted their tshuva right away. So now, they're going to be saved. How will they be saved? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Asay lecha saraf, make for yourself a snake. V'sim oso al nes, and put it on a pole, high up, over the nation. V'hoya kol anashuch, and it will be anybody who is bitten. V'ra'o oso v'chai, they will see this snake, and they will live. V'yas Moshe nechash nechoshes, Moshe made a copper snake. Hashem did not say to make it out of copper, but Moshe Rabbeinu made it out of copper anyway. The Rashi explains because since nachash, snake, and nechoshes, copper, have a very similar shoresh, a very similar root word, therefore he decided it was appropriate to make the snake out of copper. So he made this copper snake, vayisimeu alanes, and he placed it on a pole. And it was, im nashach anachashas ish, if a man would be bitten by a snake, v'hi bit al nachash anachashas v'chai, and he looked carefully at the copper snake, and he lived. This is the episode of the snakes and the copper snake. Now, most people are aware that the symbol of the AMA, the American Medical Association, which is a symbol that appears to be a pole with a snake wrapped around it. So that might be taken from here. It's very likely that's where they got it from, that because the snake here heals the people. So therefore, the symbol becomes this for the American Medical Association, the AMA. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah asks the obvious question, V'chi nachash memis nu nachash mechaya? Does the snake kill? And does the snake bring life? What do you mean that they looked up at the snake and they were saved? Why should the snake save them? What does that have to do with anything? We don't believe in these things. It's an idol. So the Gemara says no, that the snake was placed high up on a pole, high up in the air, which means if you looked at the snake, you were necessarily looking up. And when looking up, you would necessarily see the sky. When seeing the sky, you might be reminded of Hashem himself. And the Gemara says when the Jews would look at the snake with intent, and they would think about Hashem and subjugate themselves to Hashem, then they would be healed. It's not the snake that's healing them. The snake is giving them, is triggering for them their devotion to Hashem and their belief in Hashem. And therefore, they would live when they would look at the snake. Now, there is a little bit of a contradiction here, because first it says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Ches, verse 8, that at the end of the Pasuk says, V'ayakol anashuchel, be anybody who is bitten, V'ra'o sovachai, he will see it and live. The verb is V'ra'o, and he will see. But the next Pasuk, when it actually happens, it says that if someone was bitten by a snake, he beat al nachash hanachoshes vachai, he would look intently. He beat, which is a more powerful phrase, a more powerful verb than ra'ah. He beat means to look with intention. So he would look intently at the snake and he would live. So which one is it? Would he just happen to see the snake, vira'ah? Or is it vihi beat, he would see it with intent, he would look with intention? So Rashi explains that this punishment with the snakes biting them and killing them was not only that the snakes would bite and kill them, but other animals which normally are not poisonous, they would also bite and kill. It was a dangerous time. And therefore, says Rashi, that in order to be healed from the snake, which was the main punishment, the Jews had to look intently at the copper snake. Because by looking intently, they would think more about where we are in this world, why we're here, and that Hashem is in charge of everything. Whereas if it was a different animal that bit them, and they were dying for a different reason, from the bite of an animal that wasn't the snake, so then the healing process was not as difficult to achieve. And therefore, only vira'o sovachai, all they had to do was see the snake, the copper snake, and think about Hashem, but it did not require the intent look. They could just see it, and that would lead to their being healed. This story itself is one that we can relate to. Jews on the road, we can be on the road and get frustrated with the traveling, it's hard, and the Jews begin to murmur and talk and complain, and the punishment comes. However, in context to what we learned first, the story that is unwritten about the fact that there had just been a civil war, and the Levim and the Jews had fought with each other, now they're back, and now they're ready to travel. And even so, at that point, they begin to travel, they begin to murmur on the road, they begin to complain on the road. And the snakes come and they attack. In Pasuk Hey, in verse 5, when it says the nations spoke against Hashem and against Moshe, and they said, why did you take us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, there's no water. That argument is precisely what the previous faction of Jews said when they ran back to Mitzrayim. They said, we can't get into Israel. The clouds are gone. It's dangerous. And they ran back to Mitzrayim. The Levian men had tracked them down. Here in context, this is much more powerful, that the Jewish people now were saying that there's no food, there's no water, we have no land, we are in danger, and they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. One complements the other. They go together. It's not a pleasant story, but the two stories do go together. the Jewish people were now saved from this terrible plague, although people died. It's not like people did not die. Many of them did, as the Pasuk says, that in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, many people died from the Jewish people. Still, the Jewish people were ultimately saved because of this Nechash Nechoshes, this copper snake. Whatever happened to the Nechash Nechoshes? Whatever happened to the copper snake? Where did it go? Where is it? So the answer is, the copper snake was eventually taken down. It was eventually cut down and put away. It was hidden away. The Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the King Chizkiyahu, cut down the copper snake and hid it away. Why? Because people were making the mistake that the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, does the snake bring life or death? Of course not. You look at the snake and you think about Hashem. But people were starting to think that the snake itself gave life or death. And therefore, it became an object that had the potential for avodah zarah, for idolatry. Once that happened, then Chizkiyahu needed to take down that snake and put it away and not let people see it for fear that it would lead to avodah zarah. This is an important point that we all have to remember, because in Yiddishkeit, although we encourage logical thinking, and we encourage people to understand what they're doing, and we know that things have to make sense, but we do have symbolism, and we do things sometimes that we don't fully understand, and we have different types of things people do because they either are told or they believe that these things will help them. Something will bring to wealth, or will avoid poverty, or bring health, or avoid sickness, or bring a shidduch, or bring children, things of that nature. We have all kinds of symbolism in Yiddishkeit that we do, or sometimes they're called segulas that we do. And many of them are very popular. But we have to remember always, always, always that these things are nothing but symbolism. These things do not bring us what we need or want, and they don't keep away that which we don't want. That is always Hashem. The purpose of the symbolism is only to direct our thoughts properly, so that we are properly davening to Hashem and properly asking Hashem and thanking Hashem, etc., and to be aware of His existence. That is ultimately what brings us the things that we would like and need, and keeps away the things that would potentially harm us. That is the way to think about it. But chas v'shalom, not to think that somehow it is the omen, the segula, the simen, that is somehow giving us what we want or what we need. And that not to think that that's how we're achieving what we want. That's a very, very important thing that that comes up a lot, and people get lost in the segulas, and sometimes they become so important people run around for them and forget what the real purpose of a segula is. I'm looking at the question that was written in. Yes, so the question here is the snake in Gan Eden caused Lashon Hara? Is that also why the snake was the object here that killed the Jewish people? And the answer is yes, that is correct. Thank you for reminding me. That is true, that the reason why it was a snake is because the Aveira here was Lashon Hara. They were speaking against Hashem and speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore it is a snake that was the object that brought them their punishment. Mrs. Deitch has a question.
So it's interesting that there was a whole issue where the people were thinking that the Nachash was the Memis or Machaya. But when you said the story where the other animals bit them, then they didn't have to understand that it was really coming from Hashem by really looking at the Nachash and looking to Hashem, but they could just see it and then be cured. So it looks, it sounds like the Nisayim was even bigger, because if it was the snake, then they had to, in order to be saved, they had to look at Hashem. But if it was any other animal, they would just look, you said Re'eh, and they just see it and they get cured. So it made it that it was even harder for them to have the, this lesson message.
Yeah, that's a good point. I imagine that the reason for that difference is that that when it came to other animals, they also needed to subjugate themselves to Hashem. But you're right; it didn't need to be done so intently. There was it was less. They had to still think about Hashem, but they didn't have to concentrate and think very hard. You're right. But with the snake, it was much more of an intense thing they had to do. It was more dangerous, and they had to look more intently. I imagine, based on what Mrs. Lewis wrote in, which is that if they were bitten by a snake, that implied that their lashon hara was worse, that they had done worse, and therefore they needed to subjugate themselves more. Whereas if they were bitten by a different animal, they had done wrong, but they had not done as badly as those who were bitten by a snake, and therefore it didn't take as much to be healed. That's what I imagine is the difference between the two. But you are correct that would give more room for a person to make a mistake and get stuck with Avodah Zarah, the potential of Avodah Zarah.
So it's like when a person is sick, if they have, you know, like a little bit sick, okay, they can, you know, maybe you don't daven as hard and realize it's really from Hashem. When a person is very sick, then they realize it. You know, then it's, so maybe it's like the Teva way of Hashem running the world, that's big traps that you could think it's the Teva, but it's, you know, not the Teva, but it's really that it just works that way because Hashem's running the Teva.
Very good. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Mrs. Lewis is also writing in that Paro had a snake on his crown, and snake is also the Yetzer Hara. The whole experience of Mitzrayim is compared to a snake. The Nile is compared to a snake. There's a whole, as you know, throwing the staff down and turning into a snake. That's true. Now, with this episode over here, so we've had some negative things here going on, and this is at the end of the 40 years. We've had the death of Miriam, and then we have the death of Aaron, and then we have the war with Amalek, and then we have the civil war, and then we have the episode with the snake. Things aren't going so well. Things aren't so terrific. But at the same time, it is the end of the 40 years. This is not the group that were supposed to be killed. This is the group that needs to go into Eretz Yisrael. So we are going to find, starting starting with Pasuk Yud, verse 10 on page 850, that here things start to pick up. Things are going to move in a different direction. And we're going to see some wonderful episodes, one after the other, which really seem like the Jews are on the proper trajectory. There'll be some bumps in the road, of course, but we are here. The Parashas Chukas kind of takes a turn right over here, where we start to move in the right direction, and it seems that once this copper snake is put up and the Jews start to subjugate themselves to Hashem, then things start to move in a more positive direction, as we will see Mitz Hashem next week. So we are going to stop here a little bit early, and Bez Hashem, next week we will continue. As I said, next week is going to be our last class before we break for the summer. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.